This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Suki brings up, which are really side issues on Ahmadiyyat and Shafi'i Gemara. There's one important yesod there in this process, which we'll go through and check out in halacha. So the Gemara was Matkif Lora. Ashi lit nechomer b'shomer b'bosh ashor chayav b'shor suli hamukdosh. Mashen came b'vayim. We have an interesting situation because in both Shur and Bur there is a statement in the Torah of the Hames Yeyeloi. But they teach us different things. The Hames Yeyeloi in the case of Shur teaches that Habayli Metatlin Ba'Benevela, that it's their business to sell it, to market it, to do whatever they want, whatever has to be done with it, to physically handle it. He must handle the nevela. Mashen came in Bor. Vahames Yehiloi teaches that psulei hamukdoshim are not chayav in the case of Bor. That means if the shor that fell into the Bor is a psulei hamukdosh, which means that's a shor who was. Did you see the psukim? Did you see the origin of the halacha in the Chumash? This is a shor who's been dedicated as a korban. A mum develops in the shor before he can be brought as a korban. Pidyon then takes place. The kedusha is transferred from that shor onto another shor, onto Mani. But yet the shor is not entirely chulin, in the sense that the shor can be used for eating. The shor can be shechted, but it cannot be used for work, it cannot be used for its wool, it cannot be used if it's a sheep, it cannot be used for its milk. That's the deal of a psulei hamukdoshim. So the there is no such thing as really owning a shor psulei hamukdosh. If a shor psulei hamukdosh isn't really owned, except once it's dead, by anybody, it's not an object that can be owned. And therefore, when it says in the case of Bova, Hamesi Yihir Loi, that cannot be referring to a Shor Psulei Hamikdash, because that condition cannot be fulfilled. He cannot have the Shor Psulei Hamikdash. What can he do with it once it's dead? The only thing you can do with a Shor Psulei Hamikdash is shech it. But if it's fallen into a bor and died, it becomes useless to its owner. So what is Hamesi Yihir Loi? So clearly, Hamesi Yihir Loi would exclude the case of Shor Psulei Hamikdash. In that case, asks the Gemara, so there's a difference here between Shor and Bor. There's a chumra in the case of Shor, which doesn't apply in Bor. Shor is chayav for a psulei hamikdash, and Bor is not. So the Gemara answers it. Says to us, "Shashor chayav by psulei hamikdash, mashen kein b'vor. Kidashinim b'vahames yeloi misha hames shelo." Vim Toma asks to us. Lamoli shor v'loy odo. If Vahames Yeloi teaches me that the only time you can be hired for a shor that falls into your bur is where you are able to take ownership of the carcass, if that's part of the chiyuv habur is that ownership of the carcass passes to you, to the owner of the pit, after he has paid the bailiff, then why do I need the limud of Shor v'loyoda? That a man that you potu for tashlumin for kofer, another tashlumin for an odom, if he fell into your pit, because v'ames yeloi cannot be taped play mi v'ames yeloi. Let's learn it from v'ames yeloi. In the case of a man too, the body cannot belong to the owner of the pit. The body cannot belong to the owner of the pit. One of the provisions of the chiyuvim of bur is absent. When one of the halachas of Bor is absent, if the halacha of Vahames Yeloi is absent, then just as in Shor Psulei Hamikdash that invalidates the whole Chiyuv Tashlumi, so in the case of Odom that should invalidate the whole Chiyuv Tashlumi. Of course, according to Tosfos that we learned last Sunday, that is no kasher because we don't learn that. Isn't that so? We don't learn it from Shor Loyalim. We learn it from Olav, which comes to teach us other things. In any case, if a kasher, it wouldn't be a kasher from that Tosfos.
So you said,
that Tosfos himself deals with it later on. Tosfos himself brings that later on. He the patrin and shops with Amukdoshim. The mace also bahano, because a human being who has died is also bahano. You can have no benefit from it. Why is a mace also bahano? When we think that Tosfos takes it to the pastures, it must be as if. Are you allowed to make lampshades out of people who come out of gas chambers? So we find the thought abhorrent. Why can you not? Because the dashin and gzeira shova shom shom me'egla rufa. That's the reason. Because it's a gzeira shova from egla rufa. By egla rufa, the word shom is used, and in egla rufa is the case of the body that is found between two towns, and nobody really knows who's responsible for the death. And this Egla Ruth has to be brought, a calf which was brought and it shifted in an unusual way with an axe rather than with a chalut. And there too there can be no hanor from the Egla. And we learn a gzera shova of shom shom, very keen ma'amidu, and that's why the body of a human being may not be the one that lies in the hanor. There's nothing emotional about it, it's a limit from the Torah. And if you don't hold the gzera shovas, and if you don't hold the Torah Shabbal Peh, then it's taken out Yisrael. So when a secularist gets abhorred at what Hitler did with the human bodies, one has to ask why? What is wrong? That he killed them, yes, it's a terrible thing to do, but he killed the Jews. But why shouldn't he make good use of it? Once he's got all those bodies, why should he go and throw them out? He's fighting a war, he needs raw materials. Why shouldn't he use the bodies? So now comes another issue, not so much the telling of a kin, but that's it, the Leisalim, the question of Nibul Ames. That's another question. Why is that not brought up in the Torah? Even when you're hanging, you can't hang the person out of it. You can't hang the person out of it.
There's a difference between a mess and a mess. Mess is the whole body. The body has to be buried. There's a part of it.
Taking apart from the body and having an offer without being another one.
Not everyone else. But one might argue that's in the same way as, let's say, the far-fetched, that someone donates the organs to.
That's really the case here. That's the subject of this Tosfos, is the question of organ donation. That is the subject of this Tosfos. That really is the subject. Did you get that, so? Did you realize that when you read the Tosfos? That's the yisod of this Tosfos. That's what this is going to call. Having hanor from a body. So you might be right, you would say having hanor from a body where there's no nibul ames. Where there's nibul ames, where the body is treated with callously, where there could be other problems. But where there's no nibul ames, it's taken out, the covered, and a limb is taken, or a. It would appear also from that level I made of the face is the thing that the Chazal and the Torah is worried about. Because that has the Tzelem Elokim. That's why the Tzelem Elokim is relevant. The face is the Tzelem Elokim. Remember the Rashi on the Pasuk brings the example of the two twins. The king has a twin brother and the twin brother is hanged. And people look at the twin hanging and think it's the king. And so the same Tzelem Elokim is hanging, it doesn't look nice, it looks like the Ribono Shel Olam. Interesting. An interesting chazal, but you see that with the facial expression. But if it's an internal organ, or if it's an organ that doesn't affect the body, or it's hanor in a way which doesn't involve nibul ames, what then? So there is a gzera shova. So let's not take the lampshade that might have required, that might have involved nibul ames, but the making soap from the fat, the nibul ames. Delicately cut out a bit of the fat and make soap balls out of it. A country that's fighting a war, struggling to survive. What was it?
What about when you said that Kumashir and Jephthah? I think the Torah says you can't eat 20 steaks if you're hungry, the kosher steaks also. You can find one of the ones kosher, right? You don't do that. That's what you have to do. Isn't this the same thing that we have? What
Yeah, but the question is, are you going to be able to kedushin tiyu? Let's say, where does it mean? Not stun. Kedushin tiyu means to stuff yourself, to self-centeredness. But no, but you're fighting a war. So if the Nazis came along and said, we wouldn't do this under normal conditions, but we're short of soaps. Our soldiers need it. We're fighting a war. So it's our survival. So we get very emotional about it. But we need to examine that emotion quite carefully. Is that a valid emotion? Not to confuse it with the emotion of killing the people in the first place. Obviously, that's the terrible thing. But lamaise, people get more emotional about the bowls of soap than the killing. You might think that human hair is mutter b'hano. You're allowed to use the human hair. You can use the hair of psulei amukdoshim. Nevertheless, since the bulk of the ox is not allowed, the ikir is the ox itself, and you can't use the ox. It's considered an isur hano. So with a human being, even though his hair can be used, since you can't use the ikar of the human being, it's an isur hano. Is this correct that you can use the hair of the ox? From the psula mikdash. Have you had anything that's akir to this? What is the source of Isur Hanor by a Psula Mikdash? Where did that come from? That's a Gemara in Bechiris, that Tisvav, which was quoted by Rashi.
Tisvav.
What does it say? Tisvav v'lugiza. What does that mean?
You can shift it, but you can't shear it.
And what does Tosfos say?
It says you can shear.
Hair and wool is there. No, it makes no difference. The wool is the hair there of the sheep. So that question Tosfos asks in Bechiris, further on in Bechiris, Kataluf, I think, in Bechiris. Tosfos asks that. And Tosfos answers that there's an isur gizel. You're not allowed to shear a sheep that's psula mikdash. If you did, you can use the wood is not also b'hano. So the mice, the action is also. You're not allowed to shear, but not because the wood, because the wood is also b'hano. Yeah. Yes. So Tosfos' kasha is that. What do we need? We've got the fact that you're only chayiv in the case of boy where the owner can take possession of the carcass. But since in the case of Odom, the owner cannot take possession of the carcass because there's an isur hano, we learn the isur hano from Sham Sham Exeshova from Egla Rufo, how can there be a chayiv boy? There can't be a chayiv boy even without the limud of shor v'lo yodom. That's the discussion. Yes, Leiman. The Bahames Yihye Loi Mishtoi Besho. The Loi Mimati Minei Ono. The Bahames Yihye Loi is a qualification referring to Sho. And you can deduce nothing from it with regard to Odom. That's what Tosfos says. And he's going to have to bring a proof for that principle because that's a big chiddush. Why can't you deduce for Adam? And v'ames yeloi, that means if it's an ox, then there is a qualification that v'ames yeloi. But by a human being, that's not there at all. What is the logic behind that? What is Tosfos saying here? Why is v'ames yeloi a qualification of shor which does not apply to Adam? Odom, maybe you would be chayiv, even if I mentioned it can't be shulam. What is the logic? We need to understand the logic, and we need a proof. So the mathematical proof Tosfos proceeds to bring. What is the logic in the model? What is the story? Yeloi is a qualification where it's shayach that a mace can be shilu. Then we say in those cases where a mace yeloi can be given expression to your chayach, whereby a mace yeloi cannot be given expression to your not chayach. In the case of Odom, the whole concept of a mace yeloi doesn't apply. It's a completely different thing. It's a completely different object. There can be no comparison. A mace yeloi, but an animal falls in. So there are certain types of animals where you can have ownership of the carcass, and certain types of animals where you can't have ownership of the carcass. But those are halachic criteria which don't in any way interfere with the concept of the ox falling into, or the animal, whatever animal it is, falling into the pit. But when you're talking about a human being falling into the pit, then the whole concept of ames yeloi doesn't apply. That's not a test. In other words, we're saying it's a check. Can you give expression to ames yeloi or not? If you can, then it's good. If you can't, then it's no good. That's all okay when you're dealing with animals, but you can't use that same criteria when you're dealing with human beings. The concept of ames yeloi is the wrong concept. It doesn't apply at all. Because of the object, not because of the halakhah. The ames yeloi, the human being, is something which cannot be owned by another human being. The body of the human being cannot be owned. There's a complete differentiation to this, it's the same. There's no way that you can cross that boundary line.
It's
not mashmin the posuk, and
there's a
sporah
as well.
The same. Sporah as well. That's not mashmin the posuk. Why is it
mashmin
the posuk?
Ba'ames yeloi. It doesn't apply to.
The question is, what is qualifying? When it says that ba'ames yeloi, is that talking about any chiyuv in bo? Or do we say it's only talking about an animal chiyuvim bo? Says Tosfos, it can only be talking about an animal chiyuvim. It is talking about it. It's talking there about animals, and it cannot be extended further. Why not? I'm asking. Why can't it be extended further? That's Tosfos' havamina, is that it can. So he's saying the reason that it can't is because conceptually an odom in a pit has nothing to do with an animal in the pit. It's completely different. And the same criteria and qualifications don't apply. A human carcass is not the same as an animal carcass. Not only is a living human being incomparable to an animal, but even a dead human being is incomparable to a dead animal. You can't, but ames yeloi, this is one of the differences. Ames yeloi is a concept which applies by a carcass. You can have ownership of a carcass, but you can't have ownership of a human body. And so this proves that must be so. Now comes his mathematical proof, Tedo. Tedo usually means, when Tosfos uses the word Tedo, he's not relying on that proof, but the Tedo is, you don't need a proof. But I'll show you in addition to that, that it is so. Midepolis beferek haporo. The Gemara asks in Ferek haporo the epuch an. Let's learn the other way around. We've got two psukim of ames yeloi, one by shor and one by goy. By shor, we said it teaches us habayim mitaplim ba'avelo, and by shor, it teaches us a two by psulei amukdoshe. What obligates us to learn it that way around? Why can't we learn it the other way around? That by shor, you put it for psulei amukdosh, and for bor, habayim mitaplim ba'avelo.
You don't need the proof, but how do you know that there's a story being taken up by a man?
Yeah, Tedo means he's not deducing it from that.
Right.
Tedo is that's the thing. But and you see that it's so unique. I don't know. In other words, what would happen if there wasn't that proof? Right. But it's such a slant. I don't know. Perush, v'ames yeloi, the shor nidrash l'misha ames yeloi. Let's use the ames yeloi of shor to teach us that it applies only by a person who can own the carcass. V'hichim atzir ha'meh ma'hachi. How can we even have such a havim in Ostosis? For b'shor m'shalim kuyfer. We know that when a shor kills a human being, there's a chiyuv kefir. That's a mefurish posuk. There's no question about that. So if we said by mesh yiloi of the shor would come to exclude misha mesh yiloi, that would mean that a psula mukdash would not be a chiyuv shor for. And according to the kasha of Tosfos, for a human being there would not be a chiyuv shor. But we know there is a chiyuv shor for a human being as opposed to for kofar. The afa pi she'en amesh shaloi, even though in the human being the mace cannot be his. But you see clearly from there that there's no connectedness between the limudim of the shor and the limudim of the odom as far as the isur hanor is concerned, the prohibition of having any benefit from the carcass. The Ashur Koi, because the Pasuk of Ames Yeloi is talking about Shur, it's qualifying certain cases of Shur, of a Shur being damaged by the pit, and it cannot be utilized or extended in any way to cover the human case as well. There's another interesting answer that one of the Rishonim give. They said there's no comparison. You couldn't. One of the Tosfos asked, why do we need Shor v'lo Odom? Let's learn it from Sulei HaMukdashim. And they said, you can't learn it from Sulei HaMukdashim, because the case of Sulei HaMukdashim, when is the Isur Hano? What causes the Isur Hano? At what point did that animal become Ozobano? Earlier. When it was made Hekdesh. So the cause of the Isur Anor is not the boy. The cause of the Isur Anor is the Hekdesh. Right? So when the Torah comes and tells me, so you're potter, because that which fell into your pit was an Isur Anor already. Nobody really owned it. That which fell into the pit, it's Hekdesh. And its Isur Anor is rooted in its Hekdesh. When a man fell into the pit, at what point did he become Osur Anor? When he hit the bottom of the pit, when he died. When he fell into the pit, he was Mutur Anor. So the pit made him an Osobano. Who says you're potter in such a case? How can you learn there too? You know, that's beautiful, isn't it? How can you learn a ptur from Sulei HaMukdashim where the Isur Anor took place before you came anywhere near your pit to a ptur of Odom where your pit made him Osobano? You made him Osobano, so you should be responsible. All the more reason you should be chayav. Not only did you make him dead, but you made him Osobano. Says Tosfos, "V'lav achi lo kasher midi." But in any case, this is no kasher. L'may the perishis l'el, in accordance with what I explained previously, the shor v'lo odom itzrich me'evid v'anot rakonu v'yisroel shenof ala boi dahar shari bano. Tosfos wants to say, maybe yes, it's no kasher at all, because really, what do we need shor v'lo odom for? We need it for a goy, and a goy is mutar bano, and therefore I can't learn that from Sulei HaMukdashim. Sulei HaMukdashim, it is Misha Meshalo, and in the case of a goy, one can use the body. Says Tosfos.
The covered for a Jew, obviously greater than for a goy.
So a non-Jewish body, a Jewish body has greater covered for a Jewish body than for a non-Jewish body. Because this Sham of the Eglo Arufa is talking about Miriam. And we learn from there for Miriam, all the likes of her. But not for a goy. Yisra'anor from Egla Rufin, we apply it to the case of Miriam and to other Jews, but it doesn't extend that all the way to a goy. So it comes out according to this Tosfos that organ transplant, we're not talking where there's a direct saving of life, that's a different story, but organ transplants for organ banks is mutter from a goy, but not from a yid. That's how it comes out here. So according to this, I'd rather one should in fact encourage going to donate their organs. fact their mitzvah to them, for the late the elders. For the guy. Maybe, yeah, that would be a cheshul. That would be a cheshul. So be careful to see the difference.
Can you get a word from a human body that's still alive?
And we could be doing it all the time.
So when this person donates his organs, he's still alive. Where's that work? Usually he's under there. So why can't you get a word from him? At the time.
But he's not giving it at that time.
Depends on
it's giving it. Yeah. But how does that? See how the concept
is. Some organs are taken when they're alive, and some
no. If it's taken when they're alive, it's different. Yeah. So if it's taken when it's alive, then it's different. That I don't see what the issue would be there, except the issue. It's the damaging to one's health or anything like that. But there, that in the Torah wouldn't be a issue. That's why many people give kidneys and things like that.
Yeah.
Usually, though, they give it to a direct beneficiary. Kidneys, corneas. Corneas are taken while they're alive, aren't they? They're dead, after death. Corneas would be a problem. Let's just see the Shulchan Aruch, what the Shulchan Aruch meant. We get a Yerudah, a last Chelik Yerudah. For it to a bank. We give it to a bank. I think he did, and I never understood that.
I think the reason is because there's always somebody that's got 10 million.
I think he was worried about the non-Jews not allowing their organs to be used for Jews, since Jews don't give any organs.
To a Jewish thing, or to this person?
It wouldn't make any difference. Yes or no? I mean, if it's only going to be used for life-saving situations, for life-saving, it has to be life-saving. Otherwise, it's Israel or even for a chayla.
That site has a special.
I don't know why. Hey, I don't know why. It's not life saving. It might really be. As soon as Foshik commences, the week I like it. There's a long tshuva on it. There are many tshuvas on it. But Moshe Feinstein has a long tshuva. But before we hear that the Pashtis, there's an Israel Hano from the Gzer Shovet. By goy lechoy it doesn't apply. The isur hano would mean, in any case, other than pikuach nefesh, the pashtus. Let's take a photostat of this page. Can we do that? Is our photostat machine operative? How much of this will we get on stand? Can we get the...
We can get a smaller one.
I think as long as we've got... say, up to here, we can do that, can't we? Yeah. Let's have a little Shulchan Aruch interesting. You didn't understand what the Hadmina was because of that Darko Lelif al Hazik. Here's a character. Darko Lelif al Hazik focuses on the shor. The Dash Panira focuses on the karka, which in other cases is not shy to be damaged. Karka cannot normally be damaged, except by shor. The karka cannot be damaged except by shor. It's not shy to be damaged. How can karka be damaged?
Why is it not
shy?
I mean, the
reader told me. No, it's a condemnation.
and they're also satisfied with wisdom.
Which we regard as a hezek. It says, Isur anon the mace of the Sachricho. Mace. A dead person, Bein Oyveit Kerchovin, Bein Yisrael, Sachricho Vasuri, Bano. A mace whether Gentile or Jew, his tachrichim, what do they call them in English? Shav. Or asurim b'ano. Shav. Asurim b'ano.
Is it a shav that
has been
made for him or
shav
already on him?
Oh, so the dafri is minam b'tzorko unesonam olof. That is provided he set them aside for him and put them on. Avol behazmona levad, but if he's just set them aside, afilu asolim letzorcho la'achas shemes, even if he made the shrouds after the person died, lo yinesu, there's no yisur hanon. Behazmona levad, because hazmona is nothing. So if the chibur kedush want to change their mind and turn it into a kittel for yom tov or something, they can do so. Again, emotionally we would find that difficult to handle, wouldn't we?
Not right that they made it. He made it himself.
No. Yeah. I saw him, and then made it. Yeah. The chenim, the and even if he put them on but didn't actually make them for that purpose and set them aside for that person, adayim lo yinesu, they're not also. The two conditions. Tachrichim are made for the dead person, or as tachrichim, and they have been put on him. So if, for example, they know tachrichim, they decide they'll use a kittel instead, and they use a kittel, and then they find tachrichim, so now it's a question, so can we take off the kittel and use it still and put on the tachrichim? Yes, we can. The kittel wasn't there when Mazda. Interesting outlook, isn't it? This line between the emotions of halacha and halacha itself are all very interesting, and that this weakness that all the rabbeilach are busy capitalizing on and making a lot of money on at the moment is the emotional aspect of Torah mitzvahs. I've talked about this traveling in a train from Tokyo to Kobe, which is as far as from here to Durban, and it takes 3 hours in the train, and there's no driver. The train just goes. There's a fellow sitting up in the front, but he doesn't. It's too fast. There's no point in a driver. His reaction time would be too slow. Yeah. There's nothing he could do. So it's all computer controlled, and the train goes. And you can have a glass full to the top on your table, and it won't move. It's one of the only trains I can learn in and work in. It's absolutely
magnetic.
Sorry?
Everything's magnetic.
No, it's not magnetic, it's actually on the, it actually runs on a rail, it runs on an ordinary rail, but it's just very, very well engineered. But interestingly, what I found interesting always on that trip is to try and find a place to say Tfilas Adere, because it's built up all the way. And at that speed, the few little farms that there are, before you can say the first line of Tfilas Adere, you pass them already. So I was getting a bit worried, a bit upset there, going all the way, 600 kilometers nearly. And you can't say Tfilas HaDerech. And then it suddenly struck me, we regard Tfilas HaDerech as a segula. But it's not a segula, it's a halacha. There's a difference between a segula and a halacha. A segula, we think, no, I said Tfilas HaDerech, so now I'm safe. Why am I safe? Because I said Tfilas HaDerech. That's not why you're safe. You're safe because you're a Mekayim the halacha. And if the halacha is that you don't say Tfilas HaDerech because there's no place to say Tfilas HaDerech, then you're still safe for being Mekayim the halacha. It's not like Hasidic segulas. I said the thing, now it's okay. It's a different attitude that one has to develop towards halacha. The same would be here. It's the same as making soap from the dead bodies, or making using the tachrichim. The emotions have to be built on the halachas, not the halachas on the emotions. And we've often talked about in this kind of the whole ethics discussion how the journalists thrive on the fact that halachas are created from emotion in the Western world. People feel something, then they decide what to do about it. So there was a big tumult going on recently. Why the San Francisco earthquake was in the headlines for 2 weeks with pictures and all sorts of things, when there were only, how many people died? 5, I think. Whereas some 170,000 people died, I think, in the earthquake in Russia there a couple of months ago, and it was off the news very quickly. And what's the reason? Because the emotions decide, and more money was raised for the earthquake in San Francisco, although it's a wealthy city, and the people, you know, all wealthy people. It's not a disaster area. Millions came running in, but for the one in Russia, it wasn't so many millions coming in. Because the nicer people feel first, and then they decide how to react. They react on the basis of the feelings. And journalism, since the advent of television, where the feelings are created out of pictures, not out of an article. An article uses the mind, and then the mind dictates the feelings. But the pictures, there's no, the mind doesn't get involved at all. It's a direct response from the picture to the emotion.
But even then, the article could be
an emotive article, but in the good newspapers it wasn't. That's what responsible press was. As a matter of interest, Nixon writes in his new book that Nixon's a godel, by the way. Nixon, they're now beginning to understand in America how great he is. One of the things he writes is that as a young man, and he was active in politics already, very active in politics, he never knew until 1960, I think it was, 61, that Roosevelt was a cripple. Can you imagine having a president for 10 years, he was, not 8 years, 10 years, in a wheelchair, and another man, active in politics, never knew that he was in a wheelchair, never knew he was a cripple. I mean, it was never mentioned in a newspaper, there was never a photograph that showed him. In that, they always went out of their way to show him in poses where you couldn't see that he was a cripple, because they realized that could undermine the presidency, to show him as a cripple. Imagine the press today. So in those days, not only was the written press careful to use rationale, but even the picture press was careful how they structured their picture. Today it's forget. But even the, you know, they make even healthy, even good ones look like a cripple. And that's what halacha one has to be careful. That's what that is one of the big dangers that the Vilna Gaon foresaw with Hasidus. That's the essential difference between the approach of the Vilna Gaon and the approach of the Hasidim. That's what he was worried about. The danger that once you start getting emotional about the Yiddishkeit, not that you mustn't be emotional, of course you've got to be emotional about Yiddishkeit, but the question is not whether emotional or not emotional. The question is, do you become emotional and from there you draw your strength? Or you draw your strength from the halacha and from the longest, and then you inject your emotions? Where do the emotions, what starts? What's the chicken and what's the egg? One sees with all these halachas, and then they make segulas out of these things, and then you go to Keter Ochel and they give you these red threads to tie around you, and then they start terrorizing people. Nobody knows where it comes from or what it is, and this starts becoming a halacha, and then people don't cut their children's hair before they're 3 years old, but they're eating in Yom Kippur, it's a complete distortion of the role of halacha. I have to be careful. And these are very interesting halachas because they're emotive halachas, and you've got to design your emotions around the halachas, not the halachas around the emotions. But to use the tachrich, depends. You've got to check, was the hazmonah lekach, was it put onto the dead person or not? The halachic criteria. Once you've got the halachic structure clear, then you can start feeling. Okay?
How would you explain to the halachas to avoid that you can use non-Jewish organs to offend
Just let's finish this and then I'll answer your question, Johnny. The Shach says in Siman Aleph, Asurim Ba'ano, Tichtiv on the right hand side up the top. Tichtiv Batikover Sham Miriam, and it says that Miriam was buried there. The Yalfinan Shom Shom Egla Rufa. Here you have the whole thing. Ma Egla Rufa Asur Ba'ano, Af Meis Vachol Tachrichov Asurim Ba'ano. So Meis and all its Tachrichim are Asurim Ba'ano. So you see clearly the Shach told us, not that we needed the Shach to tell us, but the Isur of Anor, the Tachrichim, and Kol Shein, the body itself. The Tachrichim are also because the body is also. not the other way around. Now, says the Vilna Gaon at the bottom, sorry? Not from? No, although he uses the Gzera Shova, he's not worried about the juvenile. In fact, it's an Akudas Akesis, which you, I think is some of you might have it, but it's blurred in most of the photostatic copies. On the extreme right-hand margin, who is also the Shach. The Kudus HaKesef says, Bein Oved Kechovin, Ken Kosov Bevedek HaBayis B'Shem Chuvas Rashbo. The Chuvas Rashbo is brought by the Bevedek HaBayis. The Bevedek HaBayis is the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, in the Beis Yosef himself, on the tour, there are some inserts, like the Raven and the Rambam. If you look in the Beis Yosef, you'll see some, there's a Bevedek HaBayis, which are inserts which he later on added in. And he adds in there, the Beis Yosef himself adds in the name of the Chubas Rashbo, the Hebrew Simon Shin Samachay, that it makes a difference if it's a Goy or a Jew. The Ayin Betosvis de Bovakama Daf Yud, and the Dalav Sov de Bramasko Shasho, Mashme Shemesevit Kechovi Mutabano. That's Mashme that by a Goy is Mutab. The Chain Mashme Mashkos Rarava Magid, and from the Magid Mishnah also it's Mashme. Look at the Vilna Gaon, Bir Hagro, in Aleph, down at the bottom, Beinovit Kechovim. אבל הרשבו בבובה כמה כוסף בפשיטוס דמייסה וכחובי מוצבנו וכן כוסף תויסה שם but the רשבו in בובה כמה answers the same as our תויסה answers so the goal says so you see even the רשבו in בובה כמה holds that a goy is מוצבנו as תויסה does so the Vilagon is not very worried about the תשובס הרשבו because the רשבו himself many times he goes on to bring many other cases where the רשבו holds that by a goy it's מוצבנו that's how the Vilagon passes against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach seems to paskin also against the Shulchan Aruch. So although the Shulchan Aruch paskin but the Agoy is by Agoy it's also bound also, and that's a very useful Shulchan Aruch to have, because if Agoy ever throws at you, you can always, and you don't want to get involved, you can always take up the Shulchan Aruch and say, well, what's the difference between Agoy and no difference. But Lahalocha there is a difference, and if you want to explain the difference, the difference can be explained very simply. The role of a Jew is to spiritualize the physical. A goy has a spiritual and a physical life separately. That's the difference between a goy and a Jew. And it's your choice, you can say to the goy. If you want your body to be spiritualized and you want to live a life of spiritualizing the material, then you have to convert. If you would rather keep them separate, your spiritual and your material, you're fully entitled to. There's nothing in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach that obligates you to do anything else. But then your body doesn't have that same spiritual involved. So he might then ask you, what about a Yid who didn't use his potential and didn't live like a Jew? But he's given that. By being a Jew, that's a segula which his body has. It's a property which his body has. And it's open to any goy to acquire it too. The only defense to the accusation that we are racist is that there's conversion. There's no other defense. We are racists. Jews and goyim are different. Very, very different. And we make no apology about that. However, there are many Jews who are worse than goyim, and any goy can become a yid. It's not a closed society. In fact, the goy is better off in the sense that a goy is born with a choice, whereas a Jew isn't. That's the easy way to raise on it. Goy, you've got the choice. You want it, it's open to you. You don't want it, you're free. You have no obligation to it. We have no choice. But the concept can be explained quite easily. The role of the Jewish body vis-a-vis the soul is different to the role of the non-Jewish body, and that's the difference between Jew and God. So we have a machlokes Rashbo and Chuvis. Firstly, we have a stira Rashbo and Chuvis and Rashbo and Bavakamet. We've got a machlokes Tosfos and Bes Yosef. The Achronim, that's the Shach, the Magid Mishnah, and the Vilna Gaon all paskin like our Tosfos, that the body of a God is Mutab Arno. There would still be the din of Nibal Ames. We would still have to treat the body with great respect and not in any way mutilated. But that being taken care of, we could use Goyish organs for an organ bank. For a Yiddish bank, Lichayr or not. I remember what they were saying, but I don't understand it.
Yeah. The Rav told us there was a Rav quite a long time ago in this town that was looking at houses, and there were homosexuals in the house. And said they wanted to go into the house because of that. Isn't that an emotional?
Yeah, that was me, but it wasn't. It is an emotional thing. It is an emotional thing, but And it's not halachic. Sure, it's not halachic. No, but you come on the tumor and tzara and things like that as well, where there is something like that. But that, when you're buying a house, you're entitled to be emotional. So it's in Yiddishkeit that you're not entitled to be emotional. The person doesn't want the house. Why? They don't like the look of it. You want to say, where's it saying halachic? Where was it that I gave a talk in Los Angeles? I gave a shiur in Los Angeles. And it came out in the shiur. I'll tell you why I gave it even on. I gave it on that to Mukhi Yosef with the Hidur Nitzad Shlish. We talked about Hidur and Hidurim and aesthetics in mitzvahs and aesthetics out of mitzvahs and so on. So one fellow came up to me afterwards and says, "You've just saved my marriage." I said, "What's wrong about you?" But they're serious, well. He said, "I'm an accountant, and I understand figures and I understand facts and all sorts of things. My wife is an artist. And they bought a house already, a building. And she wanted to put a lot of money into the aesthetics. And he couldn't justify it financially. She had to be this kind, and she didn't like square walls, and had to be round edges, and had to be this, all sorts of mishugasim. And he works with figures, and he just couldn't understand. And it was becoming, not just in the house, but in all their lives, in their lives, this was becoming an issue. She would want to go to a concert, he wouldn't understand. Well, you want to go and spend money on a concert. You want to buy the record, okay, then you've got an asset. To go to a concert and come back with it, and you've got nothing afterwards. What's with you? How can you do such a thing? And this was because it was breaking up their marriage. And suddenly he realized that there is such a person who can't live without aesthetics. That there's an aesthetic sensitivity, and everybody has it to different levels. We can all have a tolerance level of ugliness. Comes a point where it's ugly, too ugly even for ordinary people. But an autistic person is just living on an aesthetically higher plane, and for them it's a matter of life and death. They cannot live in an aesthetically unpleasant environment. It has nothing to do with money. And all of a sudden it opened up to him the realization that he's this kind, and she's this kind, and he has to respect her needs. So when you're in those kind of things, you're entitled to be emotional. You like the thing, you don't like the thing, but nothing halach. If somebody would come to me and say, "I want to buy the house, is there any issue with it?" And I would say, buy the house. No, issue about it. That's not right. Somebody else. He's happy with it. It doesn't bother him. Tosfos doesn't regard it as a machlokes. Tosfos doesn't see himself being cholek on Rashi, but the Pnei Yeshua does. The Pnei Yeshua wants to say that Rashi doesn't. Rashi holds differently. The Pnei Yeshua wants to hold you. Look at the Pnei Yeshua. Rashi holds, and he gives good support for it. That it's only kelim that have been excluded from. They've been excluded from there. That food is not excluded. But Tosfos doesn't see it as a machlokes.